Good morning. Two things. One is you may have heard Lori went into the hospital last night. Her heart was racing and everything checked out good. So far, they haven't got the blood pressure down yet, so she's going to stay another night. But she's on, lots of people say why or what's going on. Lori has, she's on a lot of medication for the arthritis and other things. And so the answer is they're not. They don't know, and the chances that they find out are not very high, but she's feeling good, and she should be home then tomorrow. The second is, during the service today, we're going to take communion, and so at home, if you would, grab the elements so you can be ready for it. We're going to do it right in the middle of the message. Okay, delighting in one another. One of the things that I wish that you could do, and people have done before, is I wish you could come and live with me. I wish you could watch Lori and I and the amount of joy that we have in each other. Joy is when someone looks at you with delight and when you get to look back at them with delight as well. It's really what the Old Testament talks about, that God looks on his people with delight, the apple of his eye. And Lori and I get to experience that. Not just when we're happy with each other. You remember when you had joy? You remember when you were dating? There was all this joy. You would look at each other and they would look back, and then you're going to get married in the wedding dress, and oh, it's awesome. Well, almost all of that joy is built on potential. It's like what we're going to be together and all the dream of what you're going to have together. But you may be in a place where you've been married for 5 years now and the joy is not going up. It's going down. What's going on? 15 years, 20 years. You've watched a lot of couples. By the time they get to 40 years, they're just roommates. They no longer look at each other with delight. They no longer look back with delight. What happened? And we're going to talk about that today. So the big idea today is this. At the core of your hearts is where your values lie. They influence your feelings, your wisdom, your reactions. It is when you communicate and cherish one another's values that your hearts become one. This idea of joy is I can trust your heart, you can trust my heart. Our hearts are becoming one. And so we're going to jump into this passage today from Philippians, and we're going to work down through the first part of it. Then, and the second part of it, we're going to take communion as we teach through it. So here it goes. This is written to the Philippian church, and he's talking about the joy they can have with each other. This isn't about marriage. It's about the church, but the principles then apply. Therefore, if any of you have, listen to these words, encouragement by being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. The great thing about the gospel, the amazing thing about the gospel, is Jesus came and he said, listen, I want to change you. I want to change your relationship with God, whereby when God looks at you, he delights. And when you look back at God, you delight. That's what he's offering you into. Now, this entire lesson today is built on the fact that you're experiencing that. That there's principles you might be able to take if you're not yet a believer, but this entire thing's built on that. He says, then make my joy complete. If this is true, if you're experiencing this, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Remember those marriage vows. I'm going to be with you through anything and everything. I'm going to be your man through all of it. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. For our talk today, it's going to be value the other person's values above your own values. Value what they value above what you value. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. If you had any idea what that's talking about, right now what you should be saying is, that's impossible. What do you mean? This is what I value. How could I value what they value over what I value when they have the wrong values? My values say their values are wrong. And if you've been in any relationship for any amount of time, you've already experienced the fact that your values clash. They clash. What I value and what, I mean, if they just valued what I valued, it'd be great. It'd be great for them. It'd be great for us. It'd be great. This, how do you do that? This is what he says. In your relationships with one another, have the mindset of Christ. Think like Christ. Lots of times people say, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, the Bible doesn't accept that. The Bible says that Jesus came so you could think like Christ, so you could be like Christ, interact like Christ. And so we're going to jump into that next part of the passage. And as we do, I want you to go ahead and grab your elements. We have tables. Oh my goodness, it's so much better not to spill the element, to have the table in front of you. You can like push down on it. I'm the talented one. I don't have a table.
That still feels cool, though.
Yeah. So here we go. So you're going to think like Christ. That's the goal today. The goal today is to interact with, how did Christ do this? Like, how do I have the mindset? How do I think like Christ thinks? Who? Being in the very nature God. So he is God. He has all of his power. He has all of his glory. He has all of his might. He has all of his wisdom. He is God. He is in very nature God. When you see him, if you actually saw Christ as he is, you would have to blind yourself because he's so full of light and goodness that you wouldn't be able to be in his presence. He said, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He did not think that his nature, being seen as God, was something to use to accomplish what he needed to accomplish. He didn't think it was the position to take to be able to win. This is so foreign to us. In any conflict you've ever been in, any value conflict you've ever been in, the first thing that happens is the hair stands up on the back of your neck. That's the first thing that happens. You can feel it. And then you begin to bow up. Now, you may not bow up physically, but you bow up. You instantly go, I need to get to higher ground. I need to take a position of power. It's why the first thing that happens is you go, well, I. And whatever comes after that is going to be talking about how you have done so much and you are this and you're that and the reason why you are right. You're going to run to the land of I am right. Jesus didn't think it was worth the. The original says it doesn't. He didn't think being in the nature of God was something to grasp. It's not something to hold on to. It's not a position to take, and that's where I'm going to operate from, so that's where I'm going to win from. Rather, he made himself nothing. Wait, what? His mindset was, I am not going to take a position of power and strength. I'm going to take a position, I'm nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, he was the king. He is the rightful king. He became a servant. I am here to serve you. Being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He did not think of himself. He did not think, I have these amazing, incredible values. My life and your life would be so amazing if you would just see how great and awesome and incredible I am. If you would see that, then we could get along. Then we could have a relationship. Then we could have joy. He did the exact opposite. And becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He lost. He lost. If you were to ever see him on the cross, if you were there that day, you would know that guy lost. He lost. No one would put him on TikTok. Nobody. Why? Because he's a loser. You need to understand, and I need to understand, this is the mind of Christ. This is the mind of Christ. You see, to be able to have joy with you and with me, what he did was he took my sin on him and he paid for it. So that once it's paid for, he could look at you with delight. And you knowing that he has paid for your sin and you're clean, you can look at him with delight. So I'd like you to close your eyes. And if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, if you have accepted his death on the cross for you, he's looking at you with delight. He's delighted that you are his child. Do you know the Bible says he is not ashamed to call you his brother? He's not ashamed to call you his sister? Now, can you look back at him with delight? Look back at him with delight, with amazing joy. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. Now, out of gratitude, in communion, in oneness with him, take the bread together. Lord Jesus, I love you. I love, love, love you. How could this be? With all of my sin, all of my selfishness, all of my pride, you took it on you. And now, right now, spiritually, I can look in your eye and see the delight. And I'm so delighted in you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. In your name we pray, amen. The next way that Jesus thinks is this. He does not have to win the war. He did not have to operate from strength. He did not have to operate from authority because God the Father would lift him up in due time. Because God the Father was going to make him the winner. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Where's Jesus now? Oh, he's on the throne. He's on the throne right next to God the Father. And those of us who have trusted him, we bow our knee to him. We bow our knee to him, not by force. We bow our knee to him because he's so incredibly amazing. We can go into the presence of the King, Jesus, on the throne. Now we know that in and of ourselves, we don't belong there. We know. Have you ever been in a crowd of a bunch of people and you see the person and you know them and you can't believe it? They look at you and they go, good to see you, man. Jesus, in all his glory and all his strength and all his wonder and all his might, he sees you. He notices you. And he has delight in you. Now, I need to be honest. For those of you who say, I'm not so sure about this Jesus thing, you too will one day bow your knee to Christ. All of those who mock and who've made fun of and who've persecuted and who have said, who is Jesus that I should bow to him? They will all bow the knee to Christ. He is the ultimate victor. He is the ultimate authority. I'd like you to bow your heads again. Only this time, don't see him on the cross. See him on his throne. The King. He sees you with delight. He's not delighted because you're there. He's not all focused on you and like, oh, you're so amazing. Not at all. He is the King who loves you. And he is delighted that you've become part of his family. He's alive. He's the victor forever. Knowing that is true, let's take the juice together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your victory. Thank you. For trusting the Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Joy is when she looks at me and I delight in her eyes. And I look back at her with delight in her eyes. Big idea again. At the core of your hearts is where your values are. Values actually are something that are usually not something that you've decided to have. They actually just are a natural part of who you are, or you've adopted them throughout your life. You can exchange values. You can go, oh, wait, that's not God's value. I'm going to turn that in for one of God's values. But for the most part, values are just part of who you are. You don't decide these are my values. You discover, oh, that's something I really value. That's something that's really important to me. And it's at the core of why you respond the way you do. So, at this point, Lori would have come out, and we would have done our Chris and Lori thing, and the team offered to FaceTime her in, but she didn't think that would be a very good idea. I didn't ask her, honestly. Values. Lori and I have a number of values that are the same. We actually oftentimes wonder, how could this be? And some of those values are about marriage. Like, both of us value marriage. We both get that the number one thing we do before Christ is our marriage to each other. Like, Lori has said it to me a zillion times. I will never divorce you. I may kill you, but I will never divorce you. It's one of our values. Parenting is one of our values. That the reason that we are here on the face of the earth is to love each other and to raise our children to know Jesus. And it's a huge part of our value that they come to meet who Jesus really is. That we live our entire lives so they could come to meet the real Jesus, who Jesus really is. And so a big part of joy and oneness is you communicate that over and over and over and over again. We talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. We still have some of the same conversations that we had 20 years ago. And I oftentimes catch myself having the conversation going, we've already kind of talked about this. But we love it. It connects us. These values are the same. We also have values that are very different. Really different. And the way that you interact with values that are really different are you have the mind of Christ, which we just walked through. You think like Christ thinks. Which means what? That means her value or is going to be important to me, just like it's important to her, even though I disagree with it. That his value is going to be important. So if Lori were here, she could tell you many, many, many stories about that. I'm just going to share one of them. One of my values is that I want to be able to produce as much as I want to produce something, even though I don't have money to do it. So I may not be rich, I may not have the money to do it, but I'm going to build it. I'm going to make it happen somehow. And so we were moving from Marcellus to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And this is, we're going up a major highway, we're going through Kalamazoo, and we're going to Grand Rapids, which is about 700,000 to a million people. And we didn't have enough money, or I didn't want to spend the money on a U-Haul trailer, and we were at the farm, and my brother had a really nice, big hog trailer, and so I said, we can use that, that'd be great. If you know anything about hogs, they do something pretty regularly. And so we had to clean out the hog trailer, of which we did, and Lori was still okay with that. She grew up on a farm. But the next piece, super hard on her, super, super hard on her. It didn't have any taillights. It didn't have any taillights. And we're going to be driving at night as well. And I'm like, man, what do we do for taillights? Oh, got it. So I took a couple of flashlights. I turned them on, and I taped them to the fenders on the trailer. And you're like, but it's white light. You need a red light. I took a red balloon. I took the red balloon. I stretched it out. I put it over that thing. I was like, those are great taillights. That works great. And off we go. My poor wife chose not to take a position of strength where she was right, of which she was 100% right. But that was a bad idea. And she chose to humble herself and to love my value in the midst of that process. It's why I trust her heart. It's why I trust her heart. Now, the flip side of it, I was very excited about today because today I was going to let her do something she loves to do. I was going to love her bring her dog, AJ, out here on stage. And my wife values, she's always had a dog, she values this relationship with this dog. I mean, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. None. I don't get it. Like, I understand having a pet outside. Dogs belong outside. I have watched her with this dog. Like, I know she doesn't, but I think she might love the dog more than she loves me. And I'm super embarrassed about this. I'm super embarrassed about this. I can barely stand before you and even say I'm a man, this being true. She sleeps with her dog. And I sleep with her. Why? And if you've ever watched me around this dog, you would think I like the dog. I don't like the dog. By the way, dogs love me. Anytime I go to anybody's home, the first thing that happens is their dog runs to me. I don't like that dog either. But I value her values. I don't get it. I want to be clear about this, and this is true for Lori toward me. It's not just I love Lori, so I love the dog. It's I think about the dog. I think ahead about the dog. I do things for the dog. Entirely because I value what she values. Therefore, she trusts me. She trusts my heart. Like I said, I've said this almost every week, this is a graduate level course. You practice these by having the mind of Christ. You practice this by remembering, I will not operate from strength and power and I'm right. I will not think of myself, because I can trust that God the Father in due time will lift me up. Here's four things as we leave. Having the mind of Christ. One, in Christ, I have everything I need. I have value. I have genuine joy. So Lori brings joy to our relationship. I bring joy to our relationship that I get from Jesus. I get my value from Jesus. Number two, being right, stronger, and authority is not worth hanging on to. Almost all of your fights are you talking about how you use the word I always and something positive comes after it. And you use you never and always something negative comes after it. All of those conversations are conversations from power and strength. Jesus doesn't think like that. And if you want to experience joy, you won't think like that either. Number three, being God's servant will cost me my life. The Bible's so clear about this, and it's so clear about this here. God, Jesus the Son was the servant. It cost him his life, which gave us life. But you know what's amazing? This is really amazing. This life you're hanging on to, it has almost no joy. When it costs you your life, that life's not worth hanging on to. Trade it in for the life that Jesus wants to give you, which is full of joy. Number four, I don't need to exalt myself, nor make a name for myself. I just want you to think for a minute of the fights you've had in the last month. Every one of those fights was to make a name for yourself. Oh no, it wasn't. It was for us because it was right. No, it wasn't. It was for you to make a name for yourself that your values were right. Die. Lose. Lose. Trusting that God the Father will lift you up. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing word. Thank you for the power of this truth. I pray that you take your word, your truth, what you've done, the way you think. Do whatever it takes, Lord, for us to have your mind follow you. Help us to live from joy, the joy that you've given to us, so we can experience with the people that we love. In your name we pray. Amen.